podcast. We're not talk radio. We're voluble.
Take me across the lap. She used to whip me with a strap.
Yeah, Joe Jackson's a weird fucking guy, dude.
Yeah, for real.
He's angry.
Yeah, well, he's angry, but he's also kind of...
He's funny.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Voluble Radio. Thanks for joining us. So this is Mike, and joining me as always, we have Ryan.
What's up?
And super producer Richie. So, and helping us tell the story of the Jacksons is a really funny guy. He's the host of the Simpsons themed podcast, First Exit to Springfield. Calling all the way from London, England, we have Mansoor of Two Niles Productions. What's going on, man?
Hey, how's it going, man? Glad to be on.
Thank you for joining us, dude.
Yeah, no doubt. Really excited to talk about the Jacksons and all of that. So, yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. So why don't you just tell us a little bit about Two Niles?
Sure. Yeah, so Two Niles is my kind of YouTube channel where I put up a bunch of content, mainly podcasts like First Exit to Springfield and some other kind of diary-style ones that I'm working on. Check that out. That's youtube.com/Two Niles. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was on the show, and I had a great time on the show, and
yeah, I got some great feedback on your episode, so you know it was really good having you on,
dude. Thank you, man. Yeah, we got some good feedback on this end too. A lot of people that listened to it really liked our convo, so yeah, man. Thank you again. I don't know, dude. Are you guys a fan of the Jacksons?
Yeah, I would say I wouldn't say fan, but I don't hate them. That's as good as being a fan to me. If I don't hate them, then yeah, they're doing something good.
All right.
I don't like a lot of stuff.
I get that. Working with you, I kind of get that.
I have no problem with them.
But what about you, Mansoor? Are you you're a fan or?
So I'm newly a fan. I'm like a huge fan of Michael Jackson, but now I feel like I've discovered a whole bunch of like other extended unreleased MJ material by digging into the Jacksons. That's cool. I am now a fan.
That's really cool. It's like you look at Joe Jackson, you're like, yeah, he's a bad guy. Would you guys agree that Joe Jackson's a bad guy?
No, I think he's pretty good.
Really?
Well, he really shaped those kids into being a good band.
Oh my God.
He made his kids provide for his family of 32 or something. I don't know. He had a lot of kids.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe a twisted side of him wouldn't have more kids to abuse. I don't know.
That's the only reason why.
That might be a libelous claim.
There's a part in that Angela Bassett miniseries where she's like, I don't know, Joe. I think we should start using birth control. And Joe Jackson just goes, nah.
And then probably hits her in real life.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, God.
God almighty. That's getting cut out. Don't worry about it. The story of the Jacksons is kind of like, it starts as like almost like an American fairy tale, and then it kind of ends as like kind of like almost like a sci-fi drama kind of thing.
Now, by sci-fi drama, do you mean what happened to Michael's face?
Kind of, yeah.
When you're watching it and you're reading up on the Jacksons, you forget that he was black. Like,
yeah.
Because we're used to the older white one. Like, when he died, it was all that stuff. And he just doesn't look like a real, even a human.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I don't agree.
It's very weird when you see him like, oh, you were this cute little boy. What the fuck happened?
He was such a cute kid.
Yeah, I don't know why he hated himself that much that he got so much plastic surgery. It was insane.
Yeah,
it's wacky. You heard this theory that it's because he didn't want to look like his old man.
Yeah, that's a good point. I could see that.
That's so true. Yeah. In the mini series that they have out about them, Ryan, you watched that?
Yeah, it's a 1992 mini series.
Yes,
made for TV.
And there's a scene where Michael's like looking in the mirror. He's just like, I just hate myself. I hate my pimples.
Yeah, he did have a lot of pimples when he was younger, and that was like one of his main things he hated.
Yeah, that's so crazy.
Because wasn't he saying one of the girls came up to him and was like, ew, you're gross. And he was pissed because he let them down. Not that she said that. It's that they loved him. They made him who he was. And then he let them down by being ugly.
Oh, my
God. That is what made him cry and made him like all emotional about it. So he had some kind of deep-seated.
Yeah, mixed with what Mansoor was saying about the the father
looking
thing,
like,
too.
Yeah,
that is, wow, that is really sad. And I think that that's kind of like the feel I just got from this whole story, because I'm like, it's this innocent family coming from a very blue-collar, working-class American kind of thing. And then they all just turn into this weird, creepy L.A.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Michael gets the plastic surgery.
Starfucker, kind of.
Yeah, LaToya, right? Mm-hmm. She gets brainwashed by Jack Gordon, who, like, is trying to put her in porn movies at one point. And then she comes out. Like, LaToya was such a cute kid. And then you see her now, and her eyes are just always like golf balls. They're just, like, wide open eyes. Like, I don't know. You'd have to, like, watch video of her. She's kind of weird.
Jeez, the music industry will do that to you.
Yeah, I would think so, yeah. And then Randy Jackson, he like got arrested for beating up his wife a whole bunch of times or something.
It took me a while to not realize it wasn't the Randy Jackson from American Idol.
I'm going to have to go with no, dog.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. And then I looked it up and I was like, oh shit, this is a different one.
Yeah, I was kind of half, because I didn't really know that much about the Jacksons before researching this.
Well, yeah, I'm sure they're gonna get some of that down from their father.
Yeah.
Being raised like that, they're gonna get a little bit fucked up and do the same things he did, whether or not they hated him or not. You know.
And you know, it was funny you brought up Randy Jackson, and I had this in the notes, and I completely forgot. Jackie Jackson got run over by his ex-wife because he was having an affair with Paula Abdul.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Straight up. Jeez. Now, tell me.
Yeah, so it was around the time when the Jacksons got back together, and...
Was this the 90s? When did they get back together? Well, should we start from the beginning?
Yeah, you know what? You're probably right.
Let's go back to Gary. Yeah. Gary, Indiana. Let's do it.
Gary, Indiana? All right, let's do it. Let's travel
back. Going back to Indiana.
Yeah.
Let's go.
So I guess it really starts with Joe Jackson, right?
Yeah.
And, he was born in Arkansas, and he was the eldest of five children. So, and it's weird because they were all musicians as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, in a way, I saw that and I was like, okay, so he actually wanted to be the Jackson Five, but he couldn't get it, so then he beat his children into living out his dream for him. You
That's
know?
What I plan on doing.
Oh,
I'm going to beat them until they're good podcasters.
But yeah, his father was a hard ass too, and I guess I would assume that he was getting beat a lot as a kid too, right?
I saw something that they all lived to be like ridiculously old too. Like his great grandfather was like 105.
Yeah.
And like his mother was like 101.
I saw that.
They were all come from like good genes that they die in their hundreds.
Yeah, and the family tree goes back so far too. I think it's probably Wikipedia. You could actually look at their...
Andrew Jackson.
Yeah, I don't know. his parents split when he was 12, and so all his siblings moved to East Chicago, Indiana. And then his father took him to Oakland, California. So he kind of got a taste for California when he was like a real little kid.
All right.
And then when I was looking into the story of them, I'm like, okay, so his thing was always to get back to California.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what he kept telling. What's the mother's name?
Catherine.
He kept telling her when they first started dating that he's going to bring her to California, either because he was going to be a boxer, I believe,
mm-hmm.
or a musician.
Yep.
But either way, they were going to make their way to California.
Yeah. And that's so appropriate that he was a boxer and a musician because he had punching bags and session musicians with him. Yeah. I don't know. That might be a little harsh. That. Yeah. Rich says hold for edit. All right. All right. I guess when he turns 18, he moves back out to live with his mom and his siblings in Indiana. And then he meets Catherine Screws. And at the time, I think she's only like 17, and he's married.
I mean, back in the day, that's everyone was 16 or 17 when they got married and everything.
That's a good point. All those songs back in the day were all like so creepy.
You're 16.
Yeah.
You're beautiful, and I'm going to butt fuck you later. Yeah, old songs are creepy.
Yeah. What was that?
There was that old Sam Cooke song, She Was Only 16, which...
Christine 16?
Sounds illegal now, but...
Yeah. Yeah, Sweet 16 to
Christine 16.
Yeah, they're all really a bunch of. Yeah, it's just different times.
The beautiful 9-year-old girl. That's by that one guy. The
what is that song? Sweet Caroline. Yeah. That's about JFK's daughter when she was like what, 5?
It's about a beautiful 12-year-old woman.
Ugh.
Oh god.
Oh my god. All right. Well, moving along, she was 17, and she also had a limp because she had polio when she was a kid.
Right.
So there's a part, and I got a feeling that we're going to.
I thought she just walked like that because she wanted to be a pimp.
Yes, that's probably why she had to walk with polio braces. You insensitive piece. Anyway, so, and we're probably going to conflate the miniseries and the real.
Yeah, that's mostly what I'm going on.
Yeah, and the what's actually going on here? But there's a part in the miniseries where they like make a big thing about it, where like she can't dance with Joe Jackson, and they almost don't get together because of it or something.
I had to skip the beginning part because it was boring.
Oh, got you.
Like, this has nothing to do with the goddamn Jacksons. Go, and I just fast forwarded past that.
Gotcha. But I guess then Joe Jackson gets a divorce, and then in the miniseries, he almost runs her over with a car. Did you see that?
No.
All right, so let me set this up. So like, he goes and gets a divorce, and then out the blue, he just shows back up and drives over the curb and starts honking the horn. He's like, guess what? I'm single. So, yeah, Joe's a guitar player, too, and he's in a band with his brother Luther. I kind of went a little far with Joe Jackson because, I don't know, I just felt like I wanted to understand who the fuck this guy was.
He's basically a member.
Yeah. Because,
Like,
he's...
Well, they had a couple leave, and then they got the other one, like... Randy wasn't originally in it. It was after who? Tito left or?
No. It was after Jermaine
Jackie?
Left.
Oh, Jermaine?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they got like, so they were kind of like ready to just enter. Oh, you want to leave? Well, we got another one waiting to take you over.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of just had like a bunch of on deck circle Jacksons.
Yeah. It always felt like
it
was
on deck. Reserve team.
The reserve team. Exactly. Yeah. Just in case Tito goes on IR, they could just throw another guy in there. Oh, that's friggin' good. But yeah, basically Joe meets Catherine. They hook up. Instead of him becoming like a boxer and a musician, he knocks her up, you know, and...
Works at like a steel mill or something?
Yeah, then he's working at a steel mill. And so cut forward to 1959. All the kids, there's like 7 of them at this point. Overall, there's 10 children, too. All
right.
Marlon had a twin, Brandon, I think it is, that died at birth.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I love their names, Marlon and Brandon. I can't help but think it's kind of a Marlon Brando nod. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
Would that have been around at the time?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Oh, wow, yeah. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, he would have done like... Yeah, on the waterfront. Was that that was him, right?
Yeah. And also what was the biker movie he did too back then?
Biker Mice from Mars.
There definitely wasn't that.
Oh, all right, damn. I don't remember him in that actually, So now
I was just gonna say this whole steel mill in the Midwest sounds a lot like the plot to 8 Mile. I wonder if that's where music is born. Steel mills of the Midwest.
Right. What is it? Oh, the Wild One was the Marlon Brando. Okay, cool. You know, it's funny too. We did the research on Black Sabbath, and they were all steel mill guys too. I'm like, well, I don't know. Something. All
right.
Blue collar, working class kind of thing. Yeah. There you go. You know. So at this point, they have 7 kids. It's Rebe, who is like kind of the second mom of the house, kind of. Did you see that in the movie?
I didn't notice. I couldn't tell the girls because they would randomly. They didn't barely show them.
Mm-hmm.
And if they did, it'd be like, oh, Latoya's over there doing that.
Yeah.
Janet's over here. But they didn't ever like really gave them anything to say or do.
Yeah, the girls didn't have like a big role, but it seemed like at least in the In the movie.
In the movie, I mean. Yeah. In life, I'm sure they did.
I mean, in the movie also, I was looking at, you know, the child abuse of Joe Jackson. I'm like, oh, it wasn't that bad. But then I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. It's the movie. Like, of course.
Yeah, it's the miniseries. They're not going to show him hitting them. They're just going to kind of tell him to go get the, what is it, a switch?
A switch.
Go fetch a switch.
Yep. Yeah.
That's for everything. It was like you could leave your shoe in the middle of the fucking hallway. It's like, who left this fucking shoe? Just fucking 0 to 60, dude. Like, what the fuck, man? You know? Actually, at one point in the movie, they're all famous already. And somebody left a towel in the pool. And you just see enraged Joe Jackson rushing into the house, banging on the doors like 2 o'clock in the morning, screaming like, who put this? Like, what are you going to? They're all rock stars at this point. You're going to beat these kids now? Like,
that's just a dad.
Yeah.
Whose dad hasn't rushed into the house at 2 in the morning because they left a towel in the pool or they left his tools outside? Right, guys? Come on.
Yeah, the Jacksons were a lot like my family, except, you know, not talented. Or
not talented. The dad was a lot angrier.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Not talented, and Joe Jackson's father took it easy on them.
Totally a joke. It must suck that he was a boxer, but he resorted to belts. Like, you couldn't give him, like, a jab and a hook to set him straight. I don't know. Man.
Yeah, so now he's, like we were saying, he's also working in the steel mill. He's got the 7 kids, and the household was, like, packed really super tight. So I think it was all the boys slept in one room on 3-level bunk beds.
Jesus.
And then they had a 4th bed kind of pushed to the side, and then the girls slept in the living room.
God damn.
And I'm like, that's a lot of fucking kids. Jesus Christ. Like, I know.
I'd want that extra bed on the side. I'm not sleeping on a triple bunk bed.
I'm sleeping in the bathtub.
It's 2 stacks of bed. Oh, my Lord. But, they were packed pretty tight. But, like, all the kids were, like, just, like, doing it, like, the impression I got from researching this was that it was like a Disney movie almost. The kids are like cleaning and singing in key and they're all on pitch and everything.
It's, yeah. He's playing with his band, Joe Jackson.
Right.
He's got his band, he's playing, and it's just not working out.
Yeah. They're
like, something's missing. And then he goes, this is in the miniseries at least. He's like, oh, I got it. I know exactly what we need. And then he goes and wakes up the kids to dance.
Oh,
it's
2
in the morning.
Yep.
A, why are you practicing at 2 in the morning?
Yeah.
And B, all you did was get them to dance, and then they were automatically so much better.
Yeah.
Because the kids were dancing around them. It just didn't really make sense.
And that's what's crazy. So, yeah, so he would work the steel mill. He still had his – he, like, had this band with his brother still. His brother played sax. He played guitar. And, yeah, when the from like a super early age, all the kids just had music in their life, like right there, like,
yeah,
you know. And also the mother was like a huge country fan, and she would sing. And so I thought this was interesting because she would sing like country melodies in the house, and all the kids would harmonize with her. And I'm like, of course they would figure out how to do that. Country is like so much easier to follow. It's like a very 3-4 structure, or I'm sorry, 1-4-5 structure kind of. Yeah, so the other thing about the family, too, I don't know if you guys saw that, they're Jehovah's Witness.
Oh, I didn't notice that. So they don't celebrate birthdays or Christmas or anything?
No, nothing like that.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, that's... And like, they were very... I don't know, they just seem very wholesome to me, the kids.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't know, Mansoor, what do you think? Like what?
Yeah, so, like, when I read that, it seems so unusual that they were JW, right? It's, like, it's... Italian incongruous that they then pursue this kind of Hollywood music lifestyle, but like also be, I don't know, like,
yeah, it's weird to see Jehovah's Witnesses in the media, like doing anything, like
right,
a band or doing any kind of Hollywood.
And you know, I was thinking too, I'm like, they're Jehovah's Witness, and then their biggest competition when they first got started was the Osmonds, and the Osmonds. Yeah, they're Mormon.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's a weird time for all these pop stars to be coming up, you know? The Mormon guy, the Jehovah's Witness family. It's crazy. I don't know.
Aren't the Killers Mormon?
The who?
The Killers.
The Killers?
Yeah, I think they're Mormon. Hmm. Rich, can you Google that?
All right.
I could. I'm not gonna. We're not doing a fucking.
It's not like we're doing a podcast, Rich. Thanks, man.
But you're right. It's kind of like super wholesome. Like, but I think that's like reflected in the early songs. But I'm sure we'll get into that.
Mm. Oh yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah. And then they keeps so. Basically, what Joe would do to—I guess there was like a lot of gangs where they were in Gary, Indiana, and Joe would make them do all these chores. And
ooh,
stuff.
1950s gangs like the Jets. Come on, yeah, the fucking scared of that.
The Pharaohs.
Yeah,
it's like American Graffiti time. That's so friggin' funny, man. So yeah, he would just make them do all these like weird chores, like move cinder blocks from one side of the lawn to the other side. Just stack up these bricks endlessly. Yeah, they would also like pull weeds for the neighbors. So yeah, like you were kind of saying before, like basic dad commands, like go do this bullshit, right? And needless to say, the kids were well behaved, like we were saying, and. Yeah, Joe definitely wasn't shy about slaps at the dinner table, too. I saw that in the fucking miniseries. It was just like Marlon was crying or something, and he just slapped him for crying. I'm like, whoa.
That should stop the crying.
Yeah, that's going to help.
Because Tito starts playing with his guitar.
Mm.
And he breaks a string. Tito's actually getting good, but like,
yeah. So his mother was kind of like letting him.
Yeah,
do it. Yeah. Like letting he was, and that's what's crazy too. Like these
because Joe would be at work all day, mm-hmm. and they would grab his guitar from the closet and like teach themselves.
Yeah, just off the radio. Yeah. And yeah, that was the other part in the miniseries too, where they all you saw that part.
Yeah.
When so Joe Jackson comes home, he finds out that his string is broken. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning. He goes in the kids' room where they're all stacked up on the bunk beds and everything. And he just grabs Tito and just beating the shit out of him. And then he calls the whole family out to make them watch him play guitar.
Yeah. So, yeah, he wakes everyone up, makes them watch him play guitar. And he's like, no, if you're bad, you're going to get beat even worse. So then he just plays and he's really
good.
It's
not funny. Sorry. It's not funny at all. But it's just so outrageous that it's just like, oh, man, like, you didn't make it as a musician, so now these kids are going to be musician kind of thing.
It's because he's so crazy. You can't believe that they actually were successful.
Yeah.
Because he's such a lunatic.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy is that, like, we're looking back at it knowing how successful they became. And it's kind of like, I don't know, I look more sympathetically on the abuse, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
But like, if they didn't blow up, I'd be looking back and like, yo, this guy was a psychopath.
Exactly.
Why was he doing this to these kids?
That's like another thing. Like, would they have gotten this famous if Joe Jackson wasn't a fucking psychopath about this? Because
that's true.
You know, exactly. Yeah.
Wow, that's really crazy. I like to think as Tito's playing it, so Tito's playing the guitar and then he's just ripping it, and Joe Jackson is just blown away. And then in the miniseries too, of course, Jermaine and Jackie jump up like doing choreographed dance moves and singing in perfect harmony too. I'm like, what the fuck? And Joe Jackson's like, I just picture Joe Jackson in real life like kind of turning to Catherine and being like, see, and you told me not to beat the kids. But the next day Joe Jackson comes home with a guitar for Jackie.
Tito?
Oh, I'm sorry, for Tito, yeah. And the way I read it is that basically the kids were now on Joe Jackson's practice schedule.
That was the beginning of the end for them.
Can you imagine starting a band by force?
By your dad? You'd be like, well, you don't know what's cool. What are you telling me what to play? Get out of here, old man.
That would be like my dad forcing me to play like Frankie Valli songs.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Well, my dad's into Buck Cherry, so we'd probably make him into a crazy bitch.
Buck Cherry.
I wonder if that was like the one question anyone who interviewed the early Jacksons avoided asking, like, you know, how did the band form, or how did you come together? Because they know the answer is super
well,
dark.
Well, I took a string on my dad's guitar, yeah, and he beat the shit out of me. And yeah, basically, that's it.
As they're being interviewed, did you see the silhouette of Joe Jackson's afro casting over the children? Diana Ross found us.
He's got those piercing
Dude,
eyes.
I have to
too.
Edit most of that out. That is, we've been talking about too much.
When you're talking about the Jackson 5, you got to talk about Joe Jackson.
No, you're right. You're
insane,
right.
He is.
Yeah, he is just a lunatic, man. And yeah, so then, yeah, so then Joe gets his shift back at the mill. So the kids are going to school. I think Catherine's working part time at nights at this point, and the kids are doing the housework at night and stuff. And so the kids have to wake up, go to school, get perfect grades, and then they have to come home, do housework, and Jeez, fucking practice until like 12 o'clock in the morning. And they're getting ready for this high school talent show. So initially, I think it's only Tito, Jackie, and Jermaine. And
yeah, Michael wasn't in it. And if he was, he was just playing tambourine or something.
Yeah, Marlon and Michael were like playing like little percussion instruments. Yeah, so all the kids are getting ready. They do this high school talent show, and they blow the competition away. They win. And then they go on to
that
win.
That was the most, like, at least in that miniseries, over-exaggeratedly good high school performance of anything. Each band went on, and they were amazing.
Yeah, I know.
And you're like, this is not a high school. There's no fucking way.
Yeah. Well, I did read that there was a lot of really... Because Catherine kept... see, here we go. I keep referring to the stupid movie, but or miniseries, but Catherine kept going, like, every damn kid here can play... Because at one point, Joe Jackson just loses his mind, and he takes all the savings that they're going to spend on an addition for their house and just starts buying amps and drums.
All the instruments. Now, they didn't – none of the Jacksons played drums, was it, and keyboard? Those weren't Jacksons. He hired other people?
Yeah, there were kids in the – well, that's why I was saying, like, there were kids in the neighborhood. So when Joe came home with all this equipment, she was like, every kid in the neighborhood can sing this well.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You went to that high school talent show. You saw.
Most professional shit I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah, so they keep winning competition after competition. Apparently they lost. I think they came in second place in a competition. And, yeah, something Joe Jackson wouldn't take the TV because there was a second place prize.
That's a second place TV. That was badass. Yeah,
that was badass.
The shit out of him for that.
Yeah, there were moments where I was like, okay, you know what? Like, if I could Joe Jackson myself to get motivated enough to do anything, it's almost like if you could do that to yourself and get going and leave other people out of it, then, you know, that's like a Tony Robbins or somebody like that. So now we're in 65. So they've been winning all these competitions. And yeah, Joe at this point bought all this gear. They get those two kids to play keyboard and drums. And now they're on this, like, ridiculous choreographed, like, practice schedule. Yeah.
So not only is he anal over them playing the right stuff and singing the right way,
right,
now they have to be choreographed while singing and
perfect,
playing and perfectly be dancing in sync with four other people.
Yeah. There was that thing where, yeah, Marlon, he... did like a, he couldn't like do a spin or something, or he was singing off key, and Joe just loses his shit. I gotta stop laughing as I say this, but Joe starts losing his shit, and then he makes Marlon go in the backyard and cut a switch off a tree so he could beat the kid in front of all the kids for missing
Jesus.
His dance move. Like God almighty, dude, my heart like breaks like when you go through this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Michael's in the group at this point too, because Michael did like some kind of singing pageant or something too, and then they had him join the group. And now Marlon, obviously now Marlon's in it too. And so now after winning like all these competitions, the high school thing, the group starts to play gigs around Gary, Indiana, and I think they're playing like shopping malls and strip clubs.
Probably anywhere they can get the Chitlin circuit.
And I thought that was funny, too. I'm like, they're Jehovah's Witnesses, but they're playing strip clubs. Like,
anywhere you can play.
Like, yeah, I guess so when they're kids. Like, so fucking terrible, dude. I don't know. And then soon enough, they're earning like $600 a gig. And I'm like, that's fucking sweet. Yeah. You know? Eventually, they start playing the in Chicago at the Regal Theater. And they're on the same bill as Jackie Wilson. And this Jackie Wilson was like a big Motown guy back in the day. Monster, you know Jackie Wilson?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Your love.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Lifting me. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, the Ghostbusters song. Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah, the Ghostbusters song, exactly. Yeah, so they get some attention at the Regal Theater, and then they sign with this record company, Steeltown, in Indiana. And I think the address of the record label was 2300 Jackson Street.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I think that's where they grew up, right? Or something like, it wasn't a street that they named on, also called Jackson Street. Or maybe it was retroactively named.
Maybe. Rich, check what street the Jacksons grew up on, and then Steeltown Records. I believe it's, because their last album is called 2300 Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then because they do this single, they get on Amateur Night at the Apollo. And back in the day, the Apollo seemed like a really fucking hard place to play for anybody.
They got the Sandman coming on stage and pulling me off.
It was just like, oh my God, I couldn't imagine. All those people yelling and screaming at you, and then, like, a clown comes out and, like, shuffles you off or shoots at your feet and stuff with, like, a cap gun. Like, I'm like, oh, my God, I would never go back on stage ever again. I'm like, no, that's all right. I wasn't meant to do this. I'm no Jackson 5. What is it? Was their address or?
No, it's because Joe Jackson had 2,300 kids.
Oh, no. Yeah. You're right, Masur. 2300 is Jackson Family Home.
Yeah. So now I'm wondering, did they, like, name the street after they got famous? You know what I mean? Like, what are the chances it was called Jackson Street?
Yeah, that would be way too coincidental, yeah. That would be, like, the weirdest, like, what is it, synchronicity thing or ever.
I grew up on Big Schwantz Boulevard, so it makes sense. Oh.
Ah.
That's real street. Yeah. It's right down the street from here. You know what was weird about that street? It was the shortest street in town.
Oh.
Bada bing. Yeah, so then they're at the Apollo, and they actually end up winning with the Amateur Night. And it's Gladys Knight of Gladys Knight and the Pips is in the theater, I guess. Mm-hmm. And she sends a demo out. Because at this point with Steeltown, they have, I think it's called Big Boy, and it's not a very good song. It's very.
Did they write the songs or did Joe?
Big Boy, I think Joe wrote, but for the majority of their shit, until like the very end, somebody wrote for them.
All right.
Yeah, it was mostly this guy. I think his name is Deke Richards.
All right.
And he wrote a lot of their shit, along with Berry Gordy, who we're going to get into. But so they send the demo, and Motown rejects it, and then then they do a series of shows for Bobby Taylor and the Vancouvers, and Bobby Taylor is in with Motown, so he finally gets a meeting with the Jacksons and Motown. I'm like, all right, fucking sweet. So at the time, too, Berry Gordy's like one of the most powerful men in show business, too, so like to get in with this guy is a very big deal. I think that he was called Motown at the time was called what was it? Music of the Youth. So that was like back then. It was a big deal with like civil rights and everything. It wasn't like Music of the Black Youth or something. It was like just Music of the Youth.
All right, so just mostly children.
Yeah, singing. Like young kids. You know, like I think of like the cast of Animal House getting all excited about like old timey like doo wop music or like Motown style music. You know.
I wonder at the time, was this like kind of after Stevie Wonder had grown up a little bit? Because Stevie Wonder signed to Motown super young, right? And now I'm wondering.
Well, what's interesting is that Berry Gordy actually rejects the demo because he just signed Stevie Wonder.
Ah, right. Okay.
So
he wants to move away from the children or the younger people.
Wait, one more time. Sorry.
He wants to move away from signing younger acts.
Well, his thing is, like, I just signed this kid. Let's see what happens with signing a young act. At least that's the way I look at it. Like, you know, let's see what this kid can do before we start taking on other kids on our town, you know?
My reading of it was that he didn't want to, you know, he didn't want to draw attention away from Stevie. Does that kind of make sense?
No, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, this town ain't big enough for the two of them.
Yeah, exactly. No, you're 100% right. And that's fucking crazy. It's funny to think, like, yes, that's right. Stevie Wonder was a kid when he got started.
That's
like,
crazy.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I had a best of Stevie Wonder, and, like, he has that, like, pipsqueaky Mikey voice, Michael voice on a lot of songs. I'm like, oh, you're right, young Stevie Wonder. Basically, eventually, Berry Gordy sees the kids, and then I forget what song they do. I think it's like a James Brown song they do for him. He signs the kids right there. He moves Motown Records out to L.A. because he wants to be closer to the movie industry. And then I think it's only Joe Jackson and the five fly out, and then all the women have to stay behind with Randy Jackson, because he's still like a little kid. Yeah, because in the miniseries, too, Catherine's, like, all pissed off that she has to stay back and stuff. And he's like, well, I got to get us a house first, you know? I just have a signed piece of paper. I don't have money yet, you know? I don't know. I don't know. When they get there, it's complete culture shock for them, too, when they get to L.A. because of all the palm trees. They've never seen anything like that before. Warm weather. They're used to, like, snow and shit in Indiana, I would assume, right?
Yeah.
And okay, so this is where Berry Gordy wants to promote the band. So the kids go out and they meet Diana Ross in L.A., and Berry Gordy wants them to pop really quickly, you know? So he does this thing where he makes up a story that Diana Ross was in. Because the plot of the Jackson cartoon, did you see?
I didn't know there was a plot.
So the overall plot... The overall plot of the cartoon is that Diana Ross does a show in Indiana and the bus breaks down. And then something about Michael's pet snake gets lost in her dressing room and she finds the kids. But in real life, Berry Gordy really did say that Diana Ross found the kids and had them come out to L.A.
Because of a pet snake.
So the story that she discovered them is bogus.
Yeah, it's not real.
Oh, man.
It's not real.
Hey, you're shattering my dreams right now.
Yeah, because Berry Gordy at the time is just a genius in the music industry. He knows exactly how to not only find the right songwriters and performers, but to market, too. The guy is really, really smart. The kids do this, like, press juncture with Diana Ross where they do a performance. And something happens where Diana Ross introduces them, I think, as Michael Jackson and the Jackson Five.
Oh, and Joe Jackson's pissed.
Joe Jackson's, like, just fire in his eyes, side left of the stage, just like, I am going to kill you.
A bit much.
Yeah. But, he actually confronts Diana Ross, too. He's like, why would you not introduce them as the Jacksons? There's no star in this band, you know? And she's like, listen, man, it just came out. They're on television. You want to calm the fuck down? Yeah. So then, basically, Berry Gordy gets them in touch with this dude, Deke Richards. And Deke is this... he writes a lot of songs for Motown. I should. Rich, can you Google Deke Richards, please? And I think he wrote a song for maybe it was the Supremes. Was supposed to have "I Want You Back."
And I want you back. Oh no, it's Backstreet Boys.
That's Backstreet Boys. Yeah.
What did I want to know?
Yeah, so what's that important? Stop asking me.
Yeah, I forget.
Was he a real person?
No. Who did he write for? Who did he write for, Deke Richards?
Oh, yeah, so it was the Supremes. Okay, yeah. So I Want You Back is the first single that he writes for technically the Supremes, but then he gives it to Michael Jackson, or he gives it to the Jackson 5. And that song becomes like a huge hit. And I don't think it's a huge hit like right off the bat, but like very slowly it rises to number one on the Billboard. And then they put out the album Diana Ross Presents the Jackson 5. And yeah, it just keeps perpetuating this lie of Diana Ross finding the Jackson 5.
And wasn't it? It was more Gladys Knight that kind of founded them in a way.
No, well, Gladys Knight put it out there, but it was kind of more Bobby Taylor technically who found them.
Oh boy,
yeah, it's kind of Joe Jackson who kind of. Oh, man. So yeah, so now the band is getting huge, and initially when they're out in L.A., they have them in public school for some fucking weird reason.
Oh God.
And yeah, the kids, the girls are all chasing after them, and then the guys want to beat the kids up.
That's basically any kid, any yeah, kind of famous kid. That is how they feel.
Wait, hang on. So did they go to that same school that everyone seems to have gone to?
Oh, Fairfax.
In L.A. No, yeah, Fairfax, yeah.
You know what? It might be Fairfax, actually, yeah.
I think you described it as the greatest graduating class of yeah. all time or something.
Yeah, yeah. I forget who was it. I think Mickey Rooney was in that graduating class.
Slash.
Slash. Let's not forget Warren Zevon of Werewolves of London. But, what's it called? Yeah, so then they get them into private school there, and what's it called? And Gordy's starting to take this very personal interest in the kids. He's kind of becoming their second father figure, and the kids obviously are taking a real shine to him because Barry
doesn't beat them.
Well, Barry Gordy kind of has this thing more like where it's just like, hey, Mike, you know what? You finish singing the song, I'll give you some ice cream. Kind of feel yeah, like yeah. Or like, come on, I'll go buy you a giraffe. Let's go. Let's figure this out. But yeah, and Joe Jackson's starting to get kind of pissed off that they're having this relationship, because like even Jermaine at this point, he's like dating Barry Gordy the apple. Yeah, he's dating the daughter, which kind of ends up breaking the group up actually.
Michael Jackson's fame didn't?
I
thought Michael Jackson doing his solo shit kind of broke it up.
All right, you know, we'll come up on that. We'll come up on that, because I have a idea of what really started the breakup.
All right.
And Michael, I think Michael would have stayed. But let's see here. So then they do ABCs, or I think it's just ABC,
wait.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, Monsieur, what's up?
Oh, yeah, sorry. No, I think, sorry, I just lost track. Did we skip past the kind of Ed Sullivan show?
Oh, right. Right. No, I think we can jump right into that. Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I think that's like a really significant point in their history. But the reason I was going to point out is that, I don't know if you've ever watched the video back of that performance, but right at the end, they've got Diana Ross stands up in the crowd, and Ed Sullivan says, hey, and this is the lady who discovered the band.
Right.
And there's this look at Diana Ross's eye that, now looking back, I think she was lying. <You know? laughs> But at the time, it was so convincing.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, sorry, Karen.
Oh, right. So the group's now working on the album ABC, and upon completion of this album, it was released on the same day as the Beatles' Let It Be.
Mm.
And what's it called? So because it's released at the same day, they're kind of worried that they're going to have that sophomoric flop kind of thing going on. But what happens is the Beatles release the single Let It Be. They release ABC, and ABC knocks the Beatles off of number one. And I'm like, wow, that is amazing.
Yeah.
That is amazing. And then what's great is the Beatles break up, and then the Jackson 5 literally become the Beatles.
Yeah.
They really do.
They were saying how like all the girls were chasing them, and they had to just like book ass out of venues because like the girls got past security guards.
Yeah. Yeah, the one, the guy, Deke Richards, said they did a show, and he's like, I'm watching all the chairs go flop because of all the waves of fans coming over the chairs.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just picture them just like, let's get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Like a fucking
like a natural disaster movie or something.
Do,
you know?
Do little girls do that anymore? Do they care about music that much? I haven't seen that. Like maybe in the Backstreet Boys was the last time I saw NSYNC or something. Like
One Direction, maybe.
Maybe, but those are European ones. And
oh yeah, they go crazy over One Direction.
Yes, all right. So, so it is like that. Because I had no idea like when the last time I saw that was.
Yeah.
But I guess yeah, they guess. But they then do again, all like, over the world,
we're getting older, and it's like who I just, I don't watch any of this. I don't keep we're up the, with any of it. You know.
Yeah.
That's just me personally.
Because were the Beatles as being chased down in Europe and whatnot as they are here?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know if that was just an American psycho thing and they would all run after them, or if it was just girls everywhere.
That's it. It's an American thing. I just need to take a little piece of you with
yeah.
me.
I just need to rip your clothes off and rip your hair out because I'm in love with you.
But you know what's funny? It's like, what happens then? You know, it's like,
yeah,
okay, you're...
What? That's what I wonder. Like, what if he just stopped? What would they do? Just kill him? Like, would they all just start ripping him apart? I don't know how this ends.
Like, I don't picture that all ending in sex. I just picture it just, you know?
And just him getting ripped apart like a zombie
movie. A zombie movie, yeah. I got Paul's arm.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
It's crazy how much they came up by the time ABC came out. Like, if you compare it to, like, the earlier... Like, in the early years, they looked like a traveling circus family or something, right? They were,
yeah,
like, with ABC, right? They, yeah. they were fully celebrity status.
yeah, they all had the almost matching outfits, but they're all just, like, just slightly wackier than the other one. And I'm like, who the fuck is dressing these kids? Like, this is, like, Superstar? Like... I guess David Bowie was out then, and he was kind of wacky. I don't know, dude.
Yeah, 70s were.
Yeah, 70s were fucking weird, man. Oh, also in the miniseries, the fake afros in this movie. Oh, dude, so good.
That's how they age the kids. They just give them bigger afros as the years go by.
Yeah, pretty much.
They basically go to the next one. All right, now you're playing Michael. You're going to be playing Jermaine. And they just go to each kid and each...
Although
couple years, they just haven't played a different.
The oldest Jackie was Terrence Howard.
Oh, that's what you're saying.
Yeah, the guy from, what is that? Hustle and Flow.
Yeah, and Crash.
Crash. Oh, and, that's a good movie.
Some others. Yeah.
And what is it?
The First Iron Man. Oh, and the First Iron Man. Yeah,
I heard he has a micro penis. Look it up, Rich.
Well, you know what's funny is Terrence Howard is Jehovah's Witness.
That is
full
really
circle.
Fucking weird, dude. That might be part of our conspiracy theory in the show. Look it up, Rich. That would be fucking weird. Oh man. And then so I think they're like the Beatles of, I guess they're like America's direct answer to the Beatles. You know, I was making the argument that the band Kiss might be the direct. You know,
from the Beatles?
Yeah, because it's like it's like America's take on what the Beatles are. Like, that's a boy band. This is America's boy band. You know, we got, I don't know, fire and tongues and like flashy big
Catman on the drums.
What's that?
They both had Catman on the drums.
Yeah, Ringo the Catman. Sorry, go for it, Mansoor. Sorry, man.
No, I was gonna say I feel like Gary Indiana is basically the Liverpool of the US. Mm. Like some forgotten old industrial town.
You know what's really you know what's funny? My favorite team from the BPL is Liverpool, actually.
Oh right. Okay, yeah, there you go. Yeah. It's the town known for two things, the Beatles and football.
Yep.
So there you go.
You know what it is about Liverpool football is it's that goddamn song, dude. That song's so good.
Well, you never walk alone, though.
Yep.
That's just a slogan. All right, yeah.
That's the one, man.
Yeah.
Hey. Terrence, oh my God. You got to get quicker on the Google. Ryan just Googled this. Terrence Howard's wife was right about his small dick. Oh, sorry.
No, we don't care about that, Rich.
We want to see Terrence's...
We want to see Terrence Howard's baby penis.
Oh, my God. That is going to probably get edited out, but... yeah, he is Jehovah's Witness. Thank you, Richie. So then ABC comes out. It's a huge album. And what's it called? They have the merchandise everywhere. They have the lunch boxes.
So it was like Kiss.
Yeah, kind of.
So wait, you said the Jackson 5 is America's
Kiss?
Yeah.
version of Kiss or something. What were we saying?
That's what I said. No, I guess it would be the Jackson 5 because, I mean, like, Michael's kind of... I mean, and you know what's funny, too? They beat the Beatles out for the number one spot. The Beatles break
That's
up.
A better song, though. ABC is...
No, I like Let It Be better, but...
I don't know. I don't...
ABC is a banger.
ABC is better, I feel. That's my own personal view, but...
Yeah.
I love that song.
I just like I like piano songs, you know.
Typical.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, is it me or the lyrics to ABC really bad? Or am I the only one who has like a beef with
they add that reading, writing, and arithmetic in the four R, the three R's of, and you're like, none of them. Reading and then no.
I feel like ABC and 1, 2, 3 are like, is the easiest rhyme ever to write.
Extremely juvenile, but catchy as all fuck.
Yeah.
You know what I don't like about it is it makes me learn, and I hate songs that make me learn. I just want to listen to my music, man. Not at school. I had a point to what I was saying about the Beatles. So they knocked the Beatles off at number one, right? The Beatles break up, and then Michael Jackson buys all the Beatles' music and won't sell it back to them.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
What a dick move, dude.
Now who owns the Beatles?
He sold them all off.
Before he died?
Yeah.
All right.
Because he was going
bankrupt.
Yeah. Rich, can you look that up? Did he sell off the Beatles songs? I watched Paul McCartney on Howard Stern, and, dude, he was fucking pissed off about the whole thing. They were talking about the Michael buying them, and... Yeah, he was just like,
because he sold Revolution to Nike. You say you want a revolution.
Oh, that's
like
so
a Nike
shitty.
Commercial. And he's like, it's about an actual revolution, not about fucking sneakers. And he got pissed.
That sucks. Later that same year, though, they put out their third album, aptly titled Third Album. And... it's a good one. It's not that bad. You know what was cool listening to the Jackson 5? I heard a lot of Ghostface Killah sampled a lot of his music in the early days. So I'm like, right, dude, I know that song. Fuck yeah.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to revisit that. Look out for the samples.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Check out Ghostface Iron Man. That's got a lot of Jackson 5 samples in it. Pretty good.
Nice.
But, so then later that same... Yeah, okay, so they got the third album out. This one has the song I'll Be There, and there's a mess up in the song where Michael goes, I'll just look over your shoulders.
Shoulder. But he says shoulder by mistake.
He says shoulder.
I think that's what they had in that miniseries.
Oh, I thought he said shoulders, like plural. Like he looked over both his shoulders at the same time.
I thought it was like he said the word wrong. But, yeah, they were talking about that in that miniseries.
Do you know another track on this album? Well, and this is kind of an interesting. There's a version of Ready or Not.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is an original. No, it's not. This is a cover of the Delphonics, Ready or Not.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And kind of a random segue. I listened to that, and then I went off and listened to the Fugees version.
Mm.
And then a couple of YouTube clips later, I found an old video of Lauryn Hill at the Apollo in Harlem as a young girl. Doing that same crazy show where the crowd boo you off, singing Who's Loving You, like the old Jackson song. And it kind of felt like a nice kind of full circle. Like it sounds like they super influenced Lauryn Hill.
Yeah.
Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah. No, that makes perfect sense too. And there's our Jersey tie-in, Lauryn Hill from West Orange, New Jersey.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah,
there you go. But what I think is beautiful is that she got booed off that night as well, singing that Jackson 5 song.
That's surprising, actually.
And I kind of feel that maybe the Jackson's a curse at the Apollo. Maybe you'll just get booed off.
Yeah. New York's a tough crowd, too, I would say. Richie, you got the thing about the Beatles?
Yep.
All right, who's got it now? Who owns it?
Sony bought it for $7.
Ooh, Sony for $750 million.
Michael Jackson bought it for $47.5 million.
Damn. Holy shit. Wow, he made some good money on that. Goddamn, dude. But so third album does really, really well. And now Michael is starting to crack at this point because even in in that miniseries, he was like crying and wouldn't get on planes and stuff. And,
yeah.
Dude, I felt really bad for the kids at that point. Like, he was not handling.
They were miserable.
Yeah.
More so than if they were just poor in Indiana.
Yeah. They showed them like all sitting in the limo, and it's all being just rocked back and forth. And Joe Jackson loves every second of it too. It seems he's like, oh yeah, you know, just loving that shit.
But you know, this kind of coincides with just kind of general teen life, right?
Mm.
Right there, like Michael must be around like he's got to be like 12, 13 by the time third album drops, right? So that maybe that's just. You know, he goes into kind of general teenager.
Oh,
everything
true.
Gets him down. Yeah,
oh,
I don't
true,
know.
True, true. Yeah, yeah. Like melancholy, moody teenager kind of thing.
Right.
Except, like, you know, instead of running to your room and crying and. Oh, yeah, he was playing with a pet rat at one point, too. He loved it.
Wait, is that Ben?
Yes, Ben. See, I didn't know about that. Ryan told me about that last week. I'm like, I'm listening to the song, and he's like, yeah, that's about his pet rat. I'm like, no, oh, my God, it is. I looked it up. I was like, well, holy shit. That's fucking crazy. And that is it's a great yeah. song, man. That his melody is amazing in that song.
Is that Michael Jackson or Jackson 5?
I think that's Michael Jackson's second solo album, because Off the Wall is like his third.
All right.
Because that was another thing, too. I thought I always assumed Off the Wall was his first and everything else was just Jackson 5.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I saw that. Yeah. So where we're at in the story, too. So actually, real quick. So 71, the cartoon is released. And then they do this special called Going Back to Indiana Live. And it has Bill Cosby, which is... story just takes a bizarre twist. Tommy Smothers of the Smothers Brothers.
Oh, boy.
Bobby Darin.
Oh, no.
I love Bobby Darin. Diana Ross, obviously. And the concert's pretty sweet. There's a section where it's not on the actual album, I don't think, but if you I'll probably put a link to it in the show notes, but it's the band, and they're like kind of Tito and Jermaine are like jamming out. They're like really like kind of grooving and jamming, and it's more about the music than it is about dude, it was really good.
About dancing.
Yeah, the three of them are dancing, because it's like Tito on guitar, you got Jermaine on bass, and then you got the other three in the middle like singing and dancing and playing tambourines and shit. But yeah, I would definitely recommend that performance to anybody. It was really cool. But then, yes.
Were there any early signs of Bill Cosby's attitude, or is he not featuring the show?
Yeah, I think they show some backstage footage, and there's just open cups everywhere, and and I was just like, ooh, foreshadowing. I was trying to, you know, it was great too. I was just trying to come up with a Bill Cosby joke on the way here, and I'm like, you know what? Fuck it.
I'm just trying to force it in here.
No, it's all good. It's all good.
Much like Bill.
He's had
carry on.
There you go. Yes. That's the joke.
He's had it hard enough. Maybe we shouldn't talk bad about him. Come on, guys.
Yeah, oh, Bill Cosby. Yeah, yeah.
Leave him alone. He's had enough.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, 74. So 74, Joe is kind of saying, fuck Motown. He's like, I don't know what it, well, it's because Berry Gordy's doing this like fatherly thing with the kids, and he's just, I don't know. He's
better than Joe.
Yeah. That's debatable. I mean, hey, Joe Jackson had to drive that little van around and see Berry Gordy. I don't know. But, yeah, so Joe gets this, contract, with a showing in Vegas. And this is where the whole family's starting to get involved. So now Reby – oh, and I missed this too. The Reby at some point got married. And
Joe wouldn't go to the
– well, Joe went. He wouldn't let the boys go because the boys had a gig. They wouldn't – so the kids all missed Reby's fucking wedding. Ugh, it's terrible, man. But, yeah, so they're in Vegas. And now Reby's in the show, Janet's in the show, and Randy's in the show. And everybody's starting to get a better introduction to the Jacksons here. 75, Jermaine actually marries Jermaine marries Gordy's daughter. And to me, this is where the rift in the Jacksons happened, because him and Michael were super, super close, Jermaine. And Joe finds out that
The band is kind of getting ripped off by Motown. They're getting like 2.8% royalties on all their music. And Epic Records, CBS, is like, well, we'll give you 20%.
Oh, boy.
So it's like this weird thing where Jermaine is married to the boss's daughter. They're going to fuck the record company yeah. over, go somewhere else. And, yeah, Jermaine basically tells Joe, fuck you, I'm not signing the contract. And the band gets away from Motown. They sign with Epic, but Motown goes, they go, you can't call yourself the Jackson 5 because we own that shit. So yeah. then they have to get so they do the most clever thing ever. They just change their name to the Jackson's. But the S kind of looks like a 5. Like in the graphic design, I'm like, ooh, that's some clever marketing there, CBS.
Genius.
And now, yeah, so Randy's in the band. And, like, my impression of Randy is he's just, like, he's just really cocky. They kind of made him seem like a meathead in the miniseries a little bit. Like,
he's drinking all the creatine and
yeah.
doing push-ups and stuff.
Yeah, he kept turning to the guys, like, where's my whey protein?
Where's my weight belt, pussies? And he'd, like, noogie them with their afros.
Randy Jackson delivering noogies. Randy Jackson off the top rope. But now that Jermaine's gone, Michael is just starting to just be like moody and I don't know. Yeah, it's just I'm picturing like an emo Michael at this point. I don't
yeah,
know.
He is very emotional.
His outfits are all outrageous still, but they're like all black, and he's like, you know,
painting his fingernails black.
Yeah, he's all goth now. But then the Jacksons do this televised variety show, which kind of looks like the Simpsons variety show thing that they did that time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like where they're all just telling jokes.
And it's a fake Lisa.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. Well, I was like, it's a fake Jermaine, right?
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the thing with... Oh, sorry.
No, go for it. Go for it, man.
Yeah, yeah, sorry. I wasn't sure if someone's... yeah, the thing with Jermaine, though, I feel like they developed him into like a budget Michael after the split. I feel like Barry Gordy took to him and like, you know, when a parent has a, you know, wants a son but gets a daughter and ends up raising the daughter kind of, you know, as they might have a son, you know, give him like a unisex name or something, right? I feel like Barry Gordy did that with Jermaine. Like, he lost Michael, so he turned Jermaine into something closer to Michael, right? Kind of yeah. developed him musically.
I kind of like Jermaine's probably my favorite out of all the Jackson 5.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Over Michael.
And wow. I'm going to base it just off of his musicianship. Like, when I was watching him play bass, and I play bass too, so I'm like, I was just watching him rip on that thing. I'm like, fuck yeah, go Jermaine. Although, you look at him now, and he just has some kind of, like, bizarre hairstyle. I don't know how to describe it. Like,
way more bizarre than Michael's were, because
yeah it looks like somebody bizarre. Painted in this hairline that just doesn't go where a hairline should. Like, I'm
Sharpie.
Yeah, kind of, like, it almost looks like if you like cut like I don't know, like just like a helmet. I don't know, it just looks like a gladiator helmet or something. It's just like molds to his head like a Lego piece or something. Like, it's just fucking gross. I don't know. I'll put a picture in the show notes. It's interesting. I think. But wasn't Jermaine on Big Brother too? Isn't that a thing?
Yeah. Was it Jermaine or was it? Yeah.
I think I was reading.
I think definitely.
That. So would you say Jermaine? Yeah, yeah, Rich just Googled it. Oh, my. Ryan, look at this guy's hair, right? How would you describe it?
Oh, boy. That is.
It's like kind of braided, but like not. It looks like it's like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'll put a picture up. But was Jermaine a little bit bigger in England, would you say?
I think after that Big Brother appearance, yeah. But like throughout the 80s. Mm-hmm. And the 90s, no way. Like, not even close to Michael.
Yeah. Sorry, Rich just keeps going through each bizarre hairstyle. I'm sorry.
Man, this guy, his hair is crazy.
Are you looking at him right now? I'm like, I don't know how to describe that. That is just very interesting to me. So now they're on Epic, and the Jacksons slowly start to get control of their own music. So this one album they write, it's the one they put out in 78. Oh, Destiny. So they write this album, Destiny, and that's them completely. Like, that's them. There's no – because when they were in the band, they were doing a lot of overdubs and shit like that. It wasn't always them singing. They would have session musicians in and shit.
Yeah, they were saying that when they were doing the background, they're like, why do you even need to do this? They're going to get overdubbed anyway.
Yeah. And, yeah, so I would assume that Motown's just like – you would think the Jacksons have to make appearances. They're just like, fuck it, you know.
Yeah, so just like physically more important than they are musically almost at this point.
Yeah, and we're also at a time where – this is where Michael is really just starting to lose his mind a little bit.
I think that comes later on. This isn't as much as he loses
Well,
he loses it in more ways.
At this point, he's got like a lion in a cage in his backyard and a giraffe just free roaming the property and eating
right.
And shit. Like,
you're right. That is way crazier than dangling a baby off of
No, apples and oranges. Okay, that's two different crazy, but I'm just saying that this is like his slow descent into...
Yeah.
You know, this is like...
Hey, you know, Pablo Escobar had animals running wild in his garden.
And look how sane that guy now is. Yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, so they do this Destiny album. It doesn't really do that well, but it's actually not that bad of an album. I would recommend people checking it out. It's pretty cool.
Oh, it's a great album, right? It's got Blame It on the Boogie. It's got Shake It Down to the Ground. You know,
Shake It Down to the
Ground. You know what I mean? There's a few. Yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude. Yeah, fuck yeah. But, yeah. So
couple hits.
Yeah, absolutely. So then we're coming up on 79. Michael releases Off the Wall, and now he's basically become like a huge celebrity. Off the Wall is a fucking amazing album too. Everything about it. But you know what's funny too? I thought that Michael had just quit the Jackson 5 by this point before researching this. I figured Off the Wall was his breakthrough.
Yeah, and then he left them.
Well, not quite. So then, because he does Off the Wall. Oh, and he also does that movie, The Wiz.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a scarecrow.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so now he's like a... I was watching clips of that, and I completely forgot all about that movie. I'm like, oh, my God, Richard Pryor. Yeah, he's fucking awesome. What's that?
He's The Wiz.
Yeah, he's The Wiz, yeah. And then Michael plays the scarecrow guy. Yeah, spoiler. It's no spoiler. Oh, that's so funny. But... Yeah, so because he did the movie and now he's got this internationally humongous solo album, he fires Joe as his manager. And, you know, I mean, it's got a lot to do with him blowing up, but I think it really did start with Jermaine. Like, that's where Michael was kind of like, you know what, fuck you. You put us through all this stuff and then you put him through that, you know?
Yeah.
Or you can look at it as Berry Gordy's the bad guy and infiltrated the Jackson 5 with his daughter. I don't know.
I'm going to blame Joe.
Yeah. Maybe if Joe was... Can you imagine Joe Jackson still trying to be Michael Jackson's manager at this point?
Oh, my God. Well, if Michael Jackson didn't die.
No. I'm saying at this point in the story.
Oh.
Yeah, like, you're Michael Jackson. You just released Off the Fucking Wall, and Joe Jackson's telling you to go cut a switch in the backyard. Like,
yeah, we'll see how bad it is.
Yeah,
I know that's not off that one. But.
No, bad is the next one. But yeah,
so bad the one after that.
The one after that. Yeah, Thriller's next. Yeah, so then that's exactly right. So then 82, Thriller's released. Michael is the biggest star on the
Jackson. What are they doing as Jackson 5?
They're still the Jackson 5 though. Michael's still in the group. Actually,
he's still doing it with them.
Oh, and this is actually where he stars in The Wiz. I'm sorry, I thought that was 79, but yeah, this is 82. And then. Yeah, by 83, the rest of the group drop Joe, and they don't want anything to do with him. But then the brothers reunite with Jermaine to perform at Motown 25-year anniversary show. And this is where Michael – so it's the six of them, Randy plus Jackson plus Jermaine. And then, Michael does a solo song on there, Billie Jean. He does the moonwalk, and then...
That's the first time he does a moonwalk?
First time he does a moonwalk.
Ooh.
And then it's like game over from there. The brothers record one more album together. Michael gets set on fire at a Pepsi commercial. And then they perform at Dodger Stadium, and Michael announces he's leaving the group. And then I saw the last time that they played was... they played at Madison Square Garden in 2001. September of 2001, after 9/11. Yeah. I'm like, wow, that's fucking crazy.
So, and Michael was there?
Yeah, Michael was there. Six of them.
Oh, wow.
And I think they did like four shows at MSG. And then, yeah, and then you, and then that's pretty much the story of the Jackson 5. And then the rest is just like sad and...
Oh, because the beginning wasn't sad.
Yeah. I mean, like, as kids, they were all, like, getting in, like, pillow fights, and they had, like, milkshakes and stuff.
So and then
they...
Joe Jackson would beat them.
Oh, my God.
You know, that kind of fun stuff.
Oh, my God, dude. Yeah.
It's a tragic story, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you just feel so bad for them, because just innocent kids, and then, yeah, if that L.A. thing just fucks people up, man. I don't know. It's like you go from like being like this cute black kid to turning into this like plastic,
horrifying white,
ghoulish
woman.
White woman. Yeah. I think that's actually a Dave Chappelle joke. I gotta give credit.
There's a great Daniel Tosh. Oh no, you go ahead.
No, I'll say so. I was telling you earlier. I took a trip to LA. A few months back, and I did one of those celebrity tours around Beverly Hills, right? And it showed you the house that Michael was living in when he died.
Wow.
And, well, yeah, it's quite morbid. But they said that he was renting the house at the time. And I remember thinking, if Michael Jackson's renting, who's the landlord?
Yeah, right.
Like,
yeah.
Who the fuck is that? Like, you know what I'm saying? What hope is there for the rest of us for home ownership if that guy was renting?
Yeah, right. Michael Jackson is paying rent.
If Michael Jackson missed the rent 1 month, would you throw him out?
I'd be like, hey. I don't know, dude. Yeah, exactly. Can you imagine Michael Jackson getting evicted from his rented house? He's got to pack up all his lions and his fucking animals. He's just putting koala, like plastic wrap around koala bears and placing them in boxes. Oh, man, that's so fucking funny. But there was also that weird thing with Michael, too. Yeah, and yeah, you could see it really fucked them up because you were telling me this, Ryan, about the gay porn they found in his computer or whatever with...
I don't know how true that is. I got Snopes it.
No, we did Snopes it, remember?
Oh, and it came up true?
Yeah, it came up true. Right. There was this weird stuff where they found, like, I think I even saw this on the Young Turks or something like that, but they found, like, quote-unquote tasteful pictures of naked boys. And
it was
then
like gay sex with, like, children's heads pasted over it. Like,
yeah.
Adult men.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
With children's heads or, like... animal bestiality stuff and
S&M,
yeah,
and
all this morbid shit they found on in a book, like a made book.
Yeah, so I'm like, in one sense, I'm like, that's none of our business, but in another sense, I'm like, oh, that's really fucking disturbing, you know? And I don't know, man. Like, I guess it's like that thing. Like, do you think maybe he was molested too,
Michael Jack?
Yeah.
By who?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
I don't think Joe would.
I don't think Joe would either, but. Maybe just being in that seedy L.A.
Yeah, maybe some adult at the time, that like some record guy took him something, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's going to be in our Michael Jackson conspiracy episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, L.A. does seem pretty gross. Yeah, so what was your overall impression of L.A.? Did you get like a good vibe from it, bad vibe?
Yeah, yeah, but I can see how it's easy to get lost there psychologically. And there's a lot of people ready to... They kind of prey on you if they sense some vulnerability. Ugh. Like, yeah, I would hate to be like an actor looking for work. Cause you know, it's like the whole place is kind of predatory and yeah. especially if you're like,
go for it. Sorry.
No, saying if you're like, yeah, especially if you're teenagers like the Jackson 5, like if they it's kind of good that they had Joe Jackson as a manager. Because they would have gone eaten alive, you know what I mean? If they showed up, these kind of bright-eyed innocent kids from the Midwest or wherever Indiana is, they would, they'd be, you know.
Yeah.
They would have got Bill Cosby or something, I don't know.
Yeah, right. Joe Jackson's just eyeing up Bill Cosby on the side.
I'm saying, they took one look at L.A. and thanked God that their dad was Joe Jackson.
Yeah, pretty much. But, all right, so now that we laid out the story, what do you guys think? Who would play who in the movie?
Whoever's in that miniseries.
That's what I thought.
It can't be anyone that's had to make a new cast for this.
Sorry, yeah? Are you saying who would play them in the movie?
Yeah, who would play them in the Jackson movie? Who would play who?
Wasn't Ralph Fiennes? He just played Michael Jackson in some bio miniseries, I think.
Ralph Fiennes?
People are pissed.
Get the fuck out of here.
People are pissed because he's white. And everyone's kind of like, hey, did you see Michael Jackson before he died?
Yeah.
Ralph Fiennes? Yeah.
That guy's a great actor, but that's... Oh, I think I do know what you're talking about. Oh, my God.
It's
Rich, can you just Google a picture of that? We'll put that in the show notes. That's fucking hilarious.
But how crazy would that... Like, they're getting upset because they have a white guy playing Michael Jackson, but that's how he looked when he died.
That's exactly how he looked.
Ralph Fiennes.
But Michael Jackson was playing a white guy.
Exactly.
Sorry. Go for it, Masur. Go for it.
No, it's cool. So there's like a... There's a West End show, live theater. It's probably on Broadway as well, mm-hmm. called Thriller Live. I don't know if you ever saw it, but it's like it's the story of the Jacksons and Michael Jackson. And because Michael Jackson keeps changing appearance, they literally have six different actors playing him throughout the show. By the end, it's just a white woman. Right?
That's great.
And, yeah, so you'd have to get somebody, like, you'd have to get a lot of different actors to... The cover Michael, but the rest are pretty consistent. Tito Jackson's looked the same for 50 years.
Yeah, true that. Yeah, Tito's. By the way, Rich just looked up Ralph Fiennes playing Michael Jackson, and it's disturbing.
Jeez, that looks like Jason Biggs with a wig.
So, oh my God. He looks like a bad guy in a Harry Potter movie.
Like a bad guy in Dick Tracy.
Yeah. Oh, that's fucking great, though, Masur. That's fucking. Oh my God. But, I don't know. I don't really have anybody to play anybody in this movie. My thought was, yeah, Angela Bassett plays the mother in the miniseries, and she's fucking amazing. Like,
I guess you could get Terrence Howard's baby Dick to be a baby Michael Jackson before he was in the band. Maybe.
That could be. Starring Terrence Howard as Michael Jackson's baby Dick. The breakthrough performance he's been waiting for.
You know, I reckon Donald Glover could do an early Michael.
Right? Okay, I could see
Michael
that.
In his 20s. Yeah.
I could see him doing Jermaine pretty well too, actually.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Donald Glover's pretty good. Yeah, I don't know who else. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. We got a picture of the Jacksons,
of the Michaels,
of the Michaels. Yeah, no, I'm going to have to say just the cast of that miniseries because they looked exactly like these kids. Yeah. Like Monster, you got to check that miniseries out, man. It is fucking amazing.
Oh, for sure.
But, it's long as fuck, though. It's like three parts on YouTube, and it's all like...
It's like 4 hours.
Oh, yeah.
It's still pretty long, though. Sit and watch the whole Jackson thing.
On YouTube.
Yeah, exactly. But, I guess that kind of wraps up the show, man. Dude, Monster, thank you so much for coming on and hanging out with us, dude.
Well, thank you. It was really fun. Thank you. And I learned a lot as well. I think you'd covered parts of the research that I was totally unaware of. So this has been cool.
Right on, dude. Right on. Yeah. Do you have any additional plugs? What do you got coming out next, man? What's going on with the vlogs and everything?
Yeah, man. So the first exit Springfield will keep coming out. Got more episodes. Got a couple more American guests, so I hope it's easy on the American listeners' ears. I'll stay vlogging, so yeah, check that out, youtube.com/2Niles. Get at me on Twitter, just search 2Niles, and that's really it.
All right, right on, man. And we'll put a link to you in our show notes as well. So
thank you very much.
Not a problem, brother. But for everybody listening, thank you for checking us out. Go to valuableradio.com to check out the show notes and find more episodes. And we'll talk to you next time.